There's been several requests during the interim for various committee members who want to handle other categories of the budget. Basically, we've got no problem with that. Thus far, the requests appear in concurrence with each member to where Senator Stimson would like to do education, and Senator Eliason would like to do justice. Senator Ferguson has no problem with taking up the development.
With what again?
Development, which previously Senator Eliason had. So subject to no objections, we will make those three changes in the categories. When we get into the budget, there'll be a little difference in what there was last year, because we'll be working with a different format. And very soon, we'll get each member a list of the areas of responsibility that fall within these. So they'll be pretty much along the same lines, but there'll be some variations. Anything else that any member would like to bring up at this time while we do have a quorum? Senator Dankwart.
Well, you know, so the members will know, we asked for an agency budget last year, and the governor vetoed the bill. During the interim, the two finance chairmen of the Senate and the finance chairman of the House asked our finance director, Hogan, to present this budget in the agency format so we could take each department and go through it. And I think that's what you're referring to. There will be some adjustments, but we intend to look at this as an agency and have each agency go through their deal. And well, you heard the testimony on it last year. I think everybody, in all past finance chairmen, and everybody was pretty unanimous that they would like to view the budget in that manner. And while we have no objections to the executive branch continuing on to, for their own administrative purposes, see these things as programs, we would like to see it in an agency form so we can get one commissioner, one department, and sit down and go through his things and understand what he's doing and make sure he understands what his objectives are and where he's going and how he's accomplishing them. So I just want to make clear that will call for some adjustments, like in general government. Some of the general government that I have now may fall into someone else's category a little bit if they get assigned that department. Somewhere we're going to have to break those departments and assign them to these groups.
Senator Simpson.
Mr. Chairman, what is our plan in terms of coordinating some of our work with the House?
I've met with Representative Adams, and basically as we stand, the subcommittees, once their assignments are out and what have you, will work together wholeheartedly, much as possible, in unity. On some major items where it's possible, we will meet as a committee of whole to take testimony, people especially from out of town. The biggest problem that we have, and I'm sure as you ran into last year, anytime when we start scheduling meetings other than the assigned finance time, be it from 8 in the morning till 10, we get into direct conflicts with other committees, as most all of you belong to 1, 2, and some of you even 3 other committees that are subject to meeting. Where the House Finance Committee, that's pretty much their sole duty. They can meet any time. And I told Al that we certainly will be happy to work together, and we will share and cooperate as much as possible, but that the Senate, because of the smallness in numbers and other responsibilities, could not meet a lot of the time when the House would be meeting, because we have other obligations. And he understands that. As far as the subcommittees, that's fine. He's got a list of the members who have each one of their agency budgets, and just work right very close as you feel comfortable with them.
Do you have a time frame in mind now about how you'd like to see this operating budget put together?
The operating budget, I would like to have into free conference by the 90th day. The capital budget, which is in Senator Dankwart's domain, I think we agree, we'd like that in about the 70th day.
You know, also, and I can't tell you, for those interested in the capital budget, just how we'll handle that. I haven't really had a chance to see what the governor's proposing. If he doesn't propose anything, of course, we would have to do it like we did last year, and I don't think many of us want to go through that experience that same way next year. But at least as rapidly as after we see what he does, we'll try to set up a forum to have hearings on the capital budget and go over his. But I'm hoping that during... And any of the members that could suggest to us, but I would like to see the Senate also. I think we do an awful lot of wasted time here, number punching around here, trying to just go into each little item and trying to decide whether a school teacher needs chalk and erasers, you know, and how much. I hope that we can address some of the more. I know I've discussed it with Arliss and some of the other members that we could spend more time discussing some of the more long-range policy decisions of the state. And not spend as much time as I feel like. Ever since I've been on finance, we sit here and we worry about whether we should have a secretary, and then the other house is worried about whether she should have a desk. And we go days on that, and we get by us many of the important issues that we ought to be discussing. So along that line, Don and I have discussed it, that we would like to see if we can somehow keep that to a minimum, but if the committee's willing to do that.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Driscoll.
Like to put an exclamation point on that. I think what happens is we become number crunchers, and I think unfortunately in many cases that's what we've allowed our ongoing finance staff to be. And it seems to me the big issue, a lot of work is done in the budget preparation of policy analysis. Right now our weakest area is to have a way to jerk a chain, to know whether people in fact do what they say they're going to do in the budget preparation. There's a new automated budget system coming that'll have that capability in it. But what I'm hoping we might consider doing on the operating budget, and perhaps for a committee as a whole, is to get a really good review of the various agencies and then get into the detail kind of a thing. But I think that's the important thing. What are we trying to accomplish? And rather than throwing out a position here or there, we may find that if there's a proper kind of analysis done, that you may be getting rid of programs, a business, we shouldn't be here at all. And it bothers me just to take a slash, and then you never have any control of that when it leaves you. So somehow if we could emphasize that policy direction and have some debate and discussion on that, I would find that extremely helpful. Certainly that's true in transportation, the category I assume I'll be having this year.
Targets that we're looking at in the operating budget is actual reduction over last year's budget. If we can target on the operating budget of something close to $1.6 billion, it's really going to take some paring down to get anything close to that. And as you say, the policy is what we're going to have to address. We're going to have to look at operations. We're going to have to look at various functions and see what the cost-benefit ratio is to the public and to the state. We have numerous areas where three and four different agencies are watching the same spruce tree in the forest. And I think that one agency watching the spruce trees is sufficient. These are the areas where we're going to hopefully make a policy decision and to reach in and pull out entire entities of government, which for the most part is duplication, in some cases triplication. And this is the policy aspects. The 3%, the 5%, and this sort of thing, ultimately the work never gets done. Invariably the guy that's running the grader or the guy that's sweeping the floor, he's the one that gets fired. And the budget stays right up there on top, and the benefit doesn't take place for the people of the state. These are the level I hope we deal with. Like Senator Dankworth has well put, we shouldn't be in the business sitting around this table deciding if some mechanic gets a grinder on a bench in Glen Allen. That's not the level of decision making that we should be at, even though we've been pushed into it in past years. Hopefully we will look at the layered effect of government and be able to pull off one or two blankets of some of these layers.
Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your comments, but do you have interest in that, perhaps exploring with budget management, that question of follow-up? In other words, a measurement standard. So if an agency says it's going to make so many digits or so many miles of road or it's going to deliver so many services, we have some way of going back the next year and saying, yeah, we did exactly what we said we'd do. We don't have that. So every year it's a recreation, and you might have that same number of dollars going back in to do that same job of rewiring that same building that never gets done. And I think that's the weakest link that we have now, is a way to say, manager, you said you'd manage and you haven't managed, and we can show that you haven't. We do have some work that was done with on a contract through legislative budget and audit that will be coming that points to the need, perhaps, for the finance staff to do more in this area, and I hope it would be appropriate to bring that back to the full committee for discussion.
It will be.
Fine, thank you.
One other thing I would like to point out, just to reiterate what Senator Dankwith has said in reference to the agency budget, any of the meetings that I'm chairing, we're going to be working on an agency budget, and that's what the sheet music of each of the seven members of the Finance Committee will be. And the person sitting down there on the hot seat testifying had better have the same sheet music. I'm not going to sit here and play with another budgetary form and try to correlate the two and waste the time of these members. If any agency or what have you comes in with something other than the correct sheet music, as far as I'm concerned, we will just dismiss them and we'll prepare their budget for them. And that's the way it's going to be. Senator Simpson?
Do we have a time scheduled to spend some time getting a presentation on our revenue projections and have our fiscal analyst talk to us a little bit?
Yes. By Wednesday afternoon, I think the deck will be pretty well clear, and we'll schedule in some briefings. Likewise, if there's anyone that a member of this committee wants to hear from, let us know in advance, and we will arrange to have them come and testify before this committee. The gravity of the situation and the shortfall in revenues and everything, we're going to have to be as frugal as possible and make sure that we get the biggest bang possible for the bucks that the state has.
Well, in line with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to suggest that before too long, we ask the Permanent Fund Committee to appear before us and explain a little bit about some of the things we've been reading about in the newspapers and some of the proposals that they're making. I've seen some that are making me real nervous, and I'd like to find out what their plan really is and just get some general idea of what's going on.
Mr. Chairman,
I
might note for your information that the Permanent Fund Board will be meeting in Juneau on the somewhere around the 11th or 12th of the month, and I don't know if that's too late a period of time, but it might be appropriate to, since they're in town, unless there's a more immediacy than that. And at that time, they'll be going over the suggested legislation that they will be requesting the governor to introduce.
Okay.
And they've been working, or there's been a subcommittee of the legislative budget and audit, and I'd be happy to share with you, you know, what's happened there.
Well, maybe we could even hear from your subcommittee or something.
Well, Mr. Chairman, there is one thing I would like to request your consideration. When we have that meeting on an overview, I think it would be very helpful for us to have a report from Ron Lear. He's establishing capability to do some long-range financial plan, and I think that again is something the state is disastrously very desperately in need of, and it might be helpful to get just an overview of the parts of that and what he's doing to develop that. The idea of, you know, we start the loan programs and all of a sudden we're spending $450 million a year. There are other things, the whole entitlement program, half of our budget's tied up in that and various kinds of things. And I think some of these trends might be useful. And frankly, I wish the legislature had more capability in that area again, getting back to our finance staff, so that we would be more aware of where some of these things are leading us. But I think, you know, Ron might have some good information.
Good. Any other member have anything to bring before the committee?
Well, the only question I'd like to raise, Mr. Chairman, is what we talked about earlier. I'm curious how soon we'll start bill sessions. Particularly, I'm concerned with that $7 million supplemental.
Okay, I've got the list of bill assignments here, and my last word is notify my office anytime you have a bill ready. Just one thing I'll ask, put it under your signature. Last year, we had a couple of situations where bills were brought up, and the person they were assigned to wasn't even aware of it. So just any little handwritten note that SB so-and-so is ready, just give it to us, and we'll schedule as soon as possible.
What $7 million are you talking about?
That's for student the loan.
The student loan. Program.
Yeah. You know, that's exactly, I think, what Senator Sturgis-Lisky and I were talking about, too, is those are the kind of things I'd like to know more about, too. The loan programs, the permanent fund. We spend more time on those kind of issues here instead of the, and I'd like that a lot better than what we spend our time doing as a rule. So.
Well, we could sure make arrangements, particularly on that student loan program, to get some of the staff over and really spend that time.
I think most of it, but most part I know for myself, but for the first few days, and I don't mind meeting out here, but I think a lot of us are trying to kind of get our feet on the ground and get our offices moving and stuff, and it's real difficult for me to kind of get my head into some of these schedules right now until we get a couple of matters straight in the Senate, and I'm going to be on rules and some other stuff, so that's just my problem. But so is Fergie. As long as we don't get too heavy a schedule, I guess is what I'm saying right here. That we can, I think we can get overly ambitious, and then we defeat our purpose for what we're talking about. Everything's rushed through too fast.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
I think on the student loans, when you're ready for that, when just give us a little note that you're ready, and we'll schedule it. On that one there, I would like to get thrown for again.
Well, we're ready. We can just go ahead and schedule it as soon as you...
The legislature took some pretty bad press from some of the universities last year and totally uncalled for. They had $10 million laying out there. They didn't bother to disperse. They tend to say it was because the legislature droned on for some days, and that had no bearing on it. We'd passed the appropriation in March. Didn't tie to our adjournment date at all, but unfortunately the various college papers and what have you received it from post-secondary as if we were part of the problem. And realistically, they owned their own problem. But that's a good one to bring up, and just give us a note. We'll schedule as soon as possible. And anything further?
Fine, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Acting speedily, we'll call the meeting to order. We do have a quorum, and I've been told this bill is essential, and we've waived the 5-day requirement. But this time, the committee will take up Senate Bill number 629, an act making supplemental appropriation to the Scholarship Revolving Loan Fund. Senator Stimson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and my sincere appreciation for your willingness to waive the rules and move this bill expeditiously. This is a bill that most of us have had some involvement in one way or another, just by virtue of the fact that I'm sure all of us are hearing from constituents with problems that students are having obtaining the necessary student loans to attend school this next semester. And as it stands right now, there are over 1,500 applicants who have been unable to receive any money for the 81-82 school year. And we have roughly 700 or 800 that were funded for first semester and have not been able to be funded for second semester. And if those aren't real accurate figures. Carrie Romsberg can give us more specific information. But the point is, of course, we did several things to that loan program, and I don't think any of us anticipated well what the impact would be. We increased the loan amounts, and it stimulated an interest in the student loan program that transcended even our greatest expectations. And as a result, the demand was far more than the Post-Secondary Education Commission was capable of handling. They not only rapidly exhausted the $10 million revolving fund we had established to allow students to have some assurance in the spring that they would receive funding, they also used all of their budget and ended up with a $7 million deficit. My understanding is that if we pass this supplemental, it should fund the student loan program in concurrence with the philosophy that the legislature has had all along of making sure that all students that need funding for student loans will have that money available. And I do have Dr. Romsberg here to answer questions if anybody has anything.
Dr. Romsberg, you come forward, please. Any members of the committee have any questions to reference the student loan fund?
Is there anything in particular that, Mr. Chairman, anything in particular that you would like to point out that I haven't touched on?
No, I am Carrie Romsberg, for the record. No, Senator Simpson, I think you covered it very well, and your figures were right on the money. We have on hand right now 2,381. We counted them, 2,381 applications that are awaiting funding. Some of those were, and as you point out, about 700-800 were funded for fall term, but not spring, and the remainder are requests for spring semester, and they are on hand now, and then we will have some more coming in. We figure, and boy, as often as we're wrong on our projections, I hate to quote any projection, but we project that we'll need about $6.9 million, which is right at the $7 million, to get us through the current year. I would like to point out that in your packet you have two information sheets. One of them has some questions and responses, and I think one question that you brought up I would like to react to, because it is one that, quite honestly, we look, I personally look pretty bad on, and that is question B on the bottom of that first sheet, and it says, why was the true impact of Senate Bill 120 so greatly understated? And that was the one that raised the loan limits. By way of explanation, we said that we estimated the impact to be $5.3 million. The true impact of that bill, if we get the $7 million, is $22 million. Now, that's a pretty bad miss. That's 400%, almost 500%. And you wonder how we could miss it that badly. Here's what happened. At the time that bill passed, we had 6,000 loans on hand already in our office. The people had already requested funds. What we didn't anticipate happening was, after the loan bill passed, the Attorney General's office did inform us we had to write to everyone and tell them of the new terms, and we did. And just at 90% of those people changed their request. They were asking for 3,000, they changed it to 6. And what we really didn't anticipate happening was, let me give you a good example. If a person said it was going to cost them $7,000 to go to school, they asked for 3 and they said they were going to get $4,000 from savings, we assumed it was going to cost $3,000 and we didn't think it would cost any more. What happened was the student revised their application and came back and said, I'm only going to have $1,000 from savings, I need 6. By our law, that's fine, and we had to give them the 6. We didn't count on that happening. It did happen. It happened in over 5,700 cases of the 6,000 that we had, and that's why we missed.
Any further questions?
One last question, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Simpson.
If a student applied, say like in November, for this next semester, would they be covered by this supplemental?
Yes, those are the 1,500 that you referred to that comprise that 2,300. All those that applied, in fact, some applied last August for the spring semester. If they applied in August, they already have their money set aside. But if their application came in after September 1st, it was held in abeyance, and it will depend on funding now.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Any discussion? Not, do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we pass Senate Bill 629 out of committee with individual recommendations.
Hearing no objections. All in favor?
Aye.
629 moved out of Finance Committee with individual recommendations. Don, can we expeditiously handle this and get it down to rules and ask them please to get it calendared as soon as possible? We're going to, if I might, interject just a couple of organizational type things. If you have this 5-day rule that we're going to have to wrestle with, I'd like to ask each member to go over all the bills that, in fact, you have been assigned last year, and just as soon as possible, get me a list of those that you're ready to have hearings on. And I, in turn, will assign them a day and time, and we'll post them to stay in compliance. Because of the rule, if in fact there is some item or bill or legislation that is needed for the good of the people and the good of the state, I will gladly, as this morning, get up and request that the body waive the rules. But I'd like to hold this to a minimum as much as possible, as long as that rule is on the books. We will do it if we have to. We have a few bills here which have been referred to the committee, but I would like to take just a moment and make the assignments on. SCR 33, relating to the revision of municipal codes, Senator Strzelewski. SB 381, Act making special appropriations of the city of Bethel, Senator Sackett. That particular one is controlling the storage facility of Bethel. Committee Substitute Senate Bill 400, an act relating to public employees, teachers, judicial, and National Guard benefits, Senator Stimson. Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 488, an act directing the Board of Regents, University of Alaska, to establish a general endowment, Senator Stimson. Senate Bill 489, an act making special appropriations of the Board of Regents, University of Alaska, general endowment. They seem to be companion bills, appealed in both to Senator Stimson. Next one, Committee Substitute Senate Bill 521, an act relating to the state aid for health facility construction, to myself. Senate Bill 566, an act providing for an award of costs, attorney fees to a defendant acquitted of an offense against the state, Senator Dankworth. SB 597, Act making special appropriation to the new Capital Site Planning Commission, signed that Senator Dankworth. SGR 56, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to the election of state auditors, signed that to Senator Strzelewski. That's it for today. Any member has anything they'd like to bring before the committee? Well, there's just a few more. Let's throw these out too then. House Bill 18, Act making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Public Safety for implementation of statewide avalanche warning system. Sign that to myself. Geez, I'm getting more work than I need. House Bill 187, relating to tax credits and penalties, Senator Sackett. May substitute House Bill 472, an act relating to the maximum amounts which may be loaned under the Fisheries Enhancement Program, Senator Dankworth. HCR 1, relating to free travel, senior citizens aboard vessels, Senator Sackett. HCR 23, relating to gathering and evaluation of comprehensive information about salmon stocks, Arctic, Yukon, Kuskokwim management areas, Senator Ferguson. Committee substitute for Senate, substitute for House Bill 9, an act relating to energy, Senator Dankworth. Any questions? Anything further? If not, thank you very much.
Call the meeting to order. First item this morning is assignment of two bills. Senate Bill 551, Act making special appropriation for the payment of outstanding debts and obligations of the South Central Regional Resource Center. This is signed by Senator Ferguson. Senate Bill 659, an act defining capital outlay. And this will be assigned to Senator Dankworth. We have two bills that we've been taking up this morning, House Bill 18 and House Bill 348. As we proceed down here, the question has been posed if there's any reason why these two bills can't be combined. We can address this a little later. First bill we'll take up is House Bill 18. Supplemental appropriation of the Department of Safety, statewide avalanche warning system. We have someone here to testify on 18. Come forward, state your name.
Thank you. My name is Bob Janes, U.S. Forest Service. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Finance Committee. I am testifying today for the U.S. Forest Service in support of House Bill and House Bill 348. My testimony will sort of refer to both of those at the same time. These are supplemental appropriation bills for fiscal year 82. They are needed to continue operation of the Alaska Avalanche and Fire Weather Forecasting System. This is a cooperative project between the state, various departments, municipal, and federal agencies. The system was implemented in 1980. State participation was authorized under the act that was passed and made effective July 1, 1980. Each member of this committee has been provided with a packet of previous information to the House Finance Committee and other legislative committees, so I'll not go into those details behind the need and purpose of these two bills, except to try to answer questions should there be any. The legislative history of the session just previous shows both bills did clear the House floor latter part of May and passed out of Senate State Affairs during the latter part of the legislative session. We urge you to act favorably on these two bills. The funding is very important for continued operation of the system. At the present time, the activity has been pared back to a considerable amount to be consistent with funds that are in the cooperative deposit account. This has caused a reduction in operations to date in the South Central area as far as winter avalanche forecasting is concerned. It's being applied to some extent, but not up to the extent that the development plan called for on a five-year development phase of operation. Here in Juneau, there is no capability for avalanche forecasting this winter. There was some last year here in this locality under the system operation. This year, because of financial curtailments, we don't have any coverage here. We'd like to see that restored, if at all possible.
None whatsoever?
Pardon me?
None whatsoever at this point?
There's no avalanche forecasting technicians. I should qualify that a little bit. The National Weather Service will continue to give avalanche advisories and very critical to extreme cases as a regular part of their operation. But the total system calls for other avalanche technicians to get data from the field, snowpack information, and base data that can be coordinated with the Weather Service efforts for a more accurate and scientific forecasting result. If these appropriation bills are approved, we would recommend that the funding be authorized for expenditure through fiscal year 83. It would cause a change. The last date is June this year. We feel the dollars could be stretched to FY 83, but it's important to obtain funding authorization for use at the earliest possible time in order to restore some of these services I mentioned for yet this winter. We could then stretch the dollars through fiscal 83
and by fiscal 84 have it taken out of the need for special appropriation considerations and right into the regular program budgeting process. I'd be glad to answer any questions that you might have at this time.
Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
Mr. James, perhaps you're not the appropriate one to ask, but I wonder if this was started back in, 80, why it did not become a part of the regular budget. Do you have
a response? Well, can they call it a history on our agency? It's sort of in the lead administrative role right now, working with state and other federal agencies, and eventually we see a switch there to where there's more state participation and administration and whatnot. And that's our goal.
When the bills were first proposed and the enabling legislation passed, again, there weren't adequate finances to do the job at hand because it had to go through the legislative process for even state participation to start with. And so there were special appropriation bills requested in FY81, which also didn't make it clear through the legislative process because of just timing. And then that was carried over into 82, and here we are now trying to catch up.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, are we talking South Central as well as Southeast?
In the overall system, Senator, we're talking statewide. We're really talking Interior, South Central, and Southeast because it's a combined avalanche forecasting. That's what I'm kind of emphasizing right now because of the winter being right here. But there's also a fire weather forecasting application for this for year-long operation. And the forecasting center is located in Anchorage. And in the summertime, there's fire weather forecasting statewide. In the wintertime, the avalanche forecasting is primarily in the areas of heavy use and population, and therefore tied into the Anchorage South Central locale, Seward Highway, and so on, and down here in the Southeast area.
When we, Mr. Chairman, when we passed this legislation in 1980, what happened at that point? What did we set in motion?
From the state standpoint?
Yeah.
Well, primarily the departments involved, the Department of Transportation, with their avalanche control needs on the Seward Highway and other public highways got very much interested in the system, supported it, because the forecast would help to give them management control and decisions for adequate and more effective control measures. So DOT was very much involved and concerned. The same token, Division of Parks and DNR, very much concerned about the public education aspects, avalanche seminars, and to prevent backcountry accidents and fatalities that have occurred over the years, particularly in the Chugach State Park and other places where backcountry users, so their interest was recreation in dispersed areas. Forestry got into it from the standpoint of the fire weather applications. Public safety with their search and rescue mission and definite public prevention effort were all interested. So the effort was to try to draw all the state interests along with federal agency interests and municipal and go at it in a cooperative and combined effort.
And how many staff are we actually adding by passing these two bills?
Okay, by passing these two bills, there would actually be one additional
park ranger assistant, that category, which would tie in entirely for public education, information education, putting on avalanche awareness seminars, and helping the statewide snow ranger in that effort. That effort's really prevention, and we want to emphasize the need to build up good prevention capability.
One last question, Mr. Chairman. And why are we looking at two separate bills? Why can't this be rolled into one?
They could be rolled into one.
What about those dates then?
The dates would be the same. I mean, in both these bills, extending through FY83 is feasible. House Bill 18 is a one-time capital investment type approach. It's to set up a capability of a computerized model for better mountain weather forecasting. It's called an orographic precipitation model. But it is a CI type thing where the other bill is operational and maintenance, and the sponsor submitted those. We just thought maybe we could separate them at that time.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Sackett.
Are all the people that you have in personnel services existing people, the meteorologists?
At the present time, Senator, the two professional meteorologists do exist and operate at the Avalanche Warning Center. The avalanche technicians are seasonal people. Some of those are on board now and some are not because of the curtailments that have taken place. But the permanent people, meteorologists, are on board and are funded at the present time through this winter.
With the passage of this bill, how much will you be requesting in the regular budget for this coming year? For FY83?
For FY83?
As a result of this bill.
Just we wouldn't be requesting any additional for FY83. These two bills would take care of the rest of 82 and be stretched through FY83.
And then how many dollars after that?
From then on, it would be a departmental program budget request in the neighborhood. This is an estimate of the same operational amount here, $450,000 to $500,000 a year for all state interests.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Thank you. We have someone else present here to testify on the bill. Yes. Come forward, please. State your name.
I'm Mike Clemens, Assistant Director of Administrative Services for Public Safety. I'm here primarily to answer any questions that you might have. If there are questions, I'm just here to be available. Do you have any questions about the administrative aspects of the bill?
Senator Sackett?
How much is your existing budget in avalanche control?
Okay. We have not participated. We have no budget for this particular program.
How much is the existing budget for the state?
I don't know how much the Department of Natural Resources has budgeted. We don't have anything budgeted for avalanche control. Department of Transportation has some program involvement, but
you're with public safety?
Yes, public safety.
Thank you.
Senator Stenson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you anticipate any kind of expansion in this program then? You'll have a component in your budget next year for this then, right?
Yes. Although we've changed our position and are treating the Department of Natural Resources as the lead agency, we're projecting about the same level of expenditure. I think it's about $450,000 for fiscal year 84, which would be appropriate if the lapse dates on these two bills are changed to June 30, 83. Shift the program in that way.
Thank you.
Any further questions, members of the committee? Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience who desires to testify? Report, please state your name.
My name is Hilton Wolf. I'm staff assistant for the Division of Parks. Like Mike, I'm also here primarily to answer questions, but I would like to point out I think it's unique and gratifying to see that the lead testimony on this is a person from a federal agency. I think that indicates the level of cooperation which has been put together for this particular program.
Any questions, members of the committee? Thank you. Anyone further in the audience who desires to testify on this bill? Come forward, please. State your name, who you represent.
I'm Ellen Searby, resident of Juneau and trainer of Sea Dogs, the Southeastern Alaska Search and Rescue Dog Team. Our rescue team can only try to help people who get buried in avalanches and are lucky enough to survive until we get there. We cannot bring victims back to life or replace destroyed property. The only effective way to save large numbers of lives and prevent property losses is to have people and property stay out of avalanches. We need to acquire the data that will allow us to predict when and where avalanches will occur, and that data will take several years to acquire. With increasing numbers of people skiing in the backcountry and increasing pressure to build and construct roads in avalanche areas, we have some catching up to do. Presently, the four of us on Sea Dogs call-out list are the only canine rescuers available in all of Alaska. The RCMP have several dogs trained in Western Canada. Obviously, we can't get to many areas fast enough to help even those who survived the slide but are buried. In many areas, including some here in Juneau, the avalanche release zones are complicated. Part of the zone may release with the avalanche big enough to kill, leaving as much more snow hanging above the rescuers. We need to know the conditions of that remaining snow and its stability before sending in rescuers. The only accurate way to do that is with a forecast system built on as many years of complete data as we can get. We need to have this forecast system in full operations with technicians working to acquire the needed data and to assess the status of our snowpack daily. We need something a lot more complete and scientific than the method Sea Dogs presently relies on, which doesn't help anyone else, of having me drive over to the Douglas side for a view of the Thane Road and Juneau side before calling the team to say, "Hey, fellows, take your dogs and packs to work today."
Any questions, members of the committee? Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to testify? Come forward, sir. State your name and who you represent.
Mr. Chairman and members of the Finance Committee, and my name is Leif Lee, and I am a meteorologist in the weather service here in Juneau, and I'm here to support House Bill number 348. The reason why Weather Service is supporting this bill is one, with an improved avalanche forecasting and warning system, both lives and property will be saved. A better snowfall forecast will result in a more effective avalanche control operation. This again will lead to considerable dollar saving by helping highway department and others, and mountain climbing and more. The National Weather Service will provide technical assistance to the Alaska Avalanche Warning System, and in Southeast Alaska will prepare and issue avalanche warning until the Alaska Avalanche Warning Center can take over the responsibility. I'll be glad to answer any question regarding the forecasting and warning system for avalanches, in particular in Southeast Alaska. We have been involved in that for the past 8-9 years. Prior to that, I was involved in all kinds of forecasting in South Central Alaska and over the entire state. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience who would care to testify on this bill? State your name, please. Who you represent?
I'm Tom Jankowski. I'm the representative for the Alaska Avalanche and Fire Warning System for the City and Borough of Juneau. Juneau is the only municipality in the state that's a cooperative member of this system. And we support House Bills 18 and 348. I believe there's a letter in your packet from Lee Sharp, the city attorney for the City and Borough of Juneau. Without these bills, there are no personnel in Southeast Alaska that are available for the avalanche and fire warning system. Juneauites go out in their back doors for recreation, and they're in avalanche country. Others live on Thane Road, and they cross underneath avalanche paths daily. And some members of our community live in avalanche areas. Juneau residents will benefit from this system by the information given by an avalanche technician to a meteorologist for predictions. These predictions are used by backcountry travelers. They're used by the Department of Transportation for shooting on Thane Road, and the Juneau public also benefits from this, from the education process, which is part of this this warning system. The education seminars are held throughout the state, and this information is available to the public. It's something that's brought out. I'm speaking just for the city and borough of Juneau, but this system does benefit the entire state, both South Central and the interior. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions, Senator Stimson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is the type of information that is obtained as a result of the studies and so forth, is that transferable to other areas? I mean, is that like increasing technology that can be shared then, or is it so unique, say, like to the Juneau area, that what you do here really doesn't make much difference in terms of what's happening up in the Anchorage area and that type of thing?
That's correct, that the snowpack is unique for each area as far as avalanches go. So if there is not a technician here, the technician here can only really send information for Juneau to the meteorologists. And same in South Central. So right now, Juneau is not benefiting at all from the system, although we are a cooperator in the agreement. So it is, you're looking at the data that, just like the weather is unique for each locality, so is the snowpack.
One further question, Mr. Chairman. Sure. You mentioned that Juneau is the only municipality participating, and I'm just curious, is that, and you gave the reasons why you're so heavily impacted and concerned here, but is there any particular reason that other municipalities aren't involved that you're aware of?
No, not that I'm not aware of. Possibly because they do not have the immediate danger that we have right here, because it's most municipalities, it's next door, but in Juneau, it's right in our backyard. And so I think that's the biggest reason.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions? Thank you. Anyone else present in the chambers that would like to testify on these two bills? Please come forward and state your name and who you represent for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Ronald Dippos. I'm here in my capacity as a director of the Juneau chapter of the National Ski Patrol. I'm basically here to reaffirm a position stated by the National Ski Patrol in a resolution of May 1979, which should be part of your record. If not, I have a copy for you here. Basically, the National Ski Patrol is a volunteer organization in Alaska. There are about 300 volunteer patrols that are dedicated to the protection and health and safety of thousands of winter recreationists, and including but not limited to alpine and Nordic ski areas and development and non-developed mountain areas. I'm basically here to reaffirm that the Alaska Division supports the resolution as it was passed in 1979, and also to support the position stated by the Sea Dog spokesman here. And also to state that the volunteer organizations are on the Sea Dogs and also ourselves are on the call for the Alaska State Troopers in case of rescue.
Any questions from members of the committee? Senator Stimson.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I was just a little bit confused about your reference to the resolution of 79. Does this action or this bill before us then take care of everything that resolution addressed with the legislation that passed in 1980, or are there some other things? I'm not sure what resolution you're referring to.
Basically, the resolution by the Alaska Division, and therefore it resolved that the Alaska Division and Alaska Sea Patrol Incorporated strongly supports the proposed Alaska Avalanche Warning System and urges development of it.
Okay. So passage of this bill would meet.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in the chambers here to testify on either of these two bills? Any comments from members of the committee? Senator Elias?
My comments that See, the Department of Natural Resources is also involved in this, and I was wondering if there's someone here testifying that new position they're asking for. And another comment, Department of Health and Social Services has a beginning paper on this particular, and I'm just trying to understand where they fit into it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mark Johnson. I'm coordinator of emergency medical services for the Department of Health and Social Services. And we wrote a position paper last year on both of these bills. Basically, we support the concept of these bills. We cited some statistics from a study that was done by Mr. Doug Fessler, who is from the South Central region. And basically, he found that over the decade of the 1970s, there were 24 fatalities resulting from 17 fatal avalanches statewide. But he estimates that for every fatality, there were approximately 10 people who were caught in an avalanche but survived. And he has quite a lot of interesting statistics in that study. I would be here to answer any questions on that. Our concern is the human life question. We really don't have any information to comment on the techniques or the costs because that's not our area of expertise.
What was that, Mr. Chairman? What was the statistic you just gave on the number of people caught in avalanches and how many survived?
According to the study by Mr. Doug Fessler, there were 24 fatalities during the decade of the 70s from 17 fatal avalanches. He also estimated that there were 10 people caught in an avalanche for every fatality. 10 people who survived for every person who didn't survive. And of course, many of those 10 people had to be, there was some type of a rescue effort involved. And then there are other factors too that we would find some concern in the fact that where avalanches block highways can prevent access to emergency services and that sort of thing. So there can be another residual problem.
Mr. Chairman, you don't have any kind of fiscal note, though, so apparently what the services you have available must meet your needs at this point, huh?
Well, our Department of Health and Social Services doesn't really get involved in any direct service in it when it comes to these kinds of things. We provide training for people or communication, so, you know, we're kind of indirect. So when it comes to these sort of things, we have no direct involvement.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lawson?
I have one question. Does the department, were you looking for an opinion on this bill, or did you voluntarily submit it?
I'm not sure whether the department was. I was asked to put some information together, and I'm not sure where that request came from.
Any further questions?
Thank you.
Any further discussion from members of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I assume that these pieces of legislation are going to move out of this committee, and I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on whether they ought to be combined or not. And it sounds like we do need to change the lapse date on those bills.
I, at this juncture, see no real advantage to combining the two. There is a little difference in 18 as opposed to 348. 18 does specify. I think what we need is an immediate effective date on both of them and change the lapse date to 30 June 1983. Take a motion for each of those. And any member of the committee has other input or feelings or what have you, no problem.
Mr. Chairman, I would support that motion, please.
Yeah. Do you want me to make that motion?
You will, please.
Mr. Chairman, I move that House Bill 18, with an immediate effective date and a lapse date of June 30th, 1983, be moved from committee with individual recommendations.
All in favor? Opposed? 18 is moved from committee with the amended.
Chairman, I move that House Bill 348 with an immediate effective date and lapse day of June 30th, 1983 be moved to the committee with individual recommendations.
All in favor? Opposed? Bill's been moved from committee as amended. Any committee member have any items you'd like to bring before the committee at this time? Different subject, I'd like to pass this out. John, you already have one, but members of the committee, make you aware we're having some problems getting the governor's budget workbooks as required, supposed to be to the committee by the first Monday in January. Thus far, we've only received four of the workbooks, and as you see here, there's 13 of the budget workbooks which we have not received yet. I find it most difficult for any of us to be working in the area of the budget. It's the governor's office, Department of Administration, Commerce, Economic Development, Community and Regional Affairs, Education, Environmental Conservation, Health and Social Services, Law, Natural Resources, Public Safety, Revenue, Transportation, or the Alaska Court System.
Thanks.
I think that the governor's office is slowing down the legislative process considerably. We've been here a while, and it's a shame that we can't be working in these categories with their budget documents. But we'll keep you posted, and we will reiterate this concern to the governor. Any member have any further questions? Thank you very much. Meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.